Amen. My message today is a continuation of what I shared the last time I had the privilege of standing before you. Now, many years ago, I preached a sermon titled The Far Country. And PFP thinks, well, we're just going to read the scripture, so you can sit for half a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand, as it's our tradition in this church. Every now and then, PFP reminds me that you must revisit that sermon. In his own opinion, it was one of the most profound sermons that I had the privilege to deliver. Now, this is not a revisit of that sermon. It is a twist to that sermon. But the Lord give us the grace. So if you are with me in church, I'm going to ask you to stand, as is our tradition in Grace Assembly. We stand for the reading of the word, and my key text will be taken from Luke 15, and I'm going to be reading verses 11 through to 17. I try not to read a long scripture, but I think in this case for us to establish understanding. And if you care, you can read with me. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Then he said," this is Jesus, "a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me,' so that he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want." Verse 15. "Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine." 16. "Then he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." "But when he came to himself," I want you to underline that, "when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have enough bread to eat and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Now, Father, Lord, I ask that I speak with the authority that you have given to me, that, Lord, as you have laid it on my heart, I will share it, and it will be illuminated in the hearts of the brethren. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen." You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm sure many of us are very familiar with that scripture and that parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've said to ourselves, "Haba, what a child." The Yoruba have choice words for such children. And I believe the elders in the house, Auntie B, Auntie Funshua, will tell you that the Yoruba would describe such a child as Arugun Omo, Arugun, somebody who spoils the inheritance, who destroys the inheritance. Squander, Akotile Data, Akpa. And if I give these ladies opportunity, we will not live here, because they give you many words that they use to describe such a child. And I'm sure that the, okay, handsome man, you call me an old man, Minister Bawa and I, we are coming for you. Just let pastor travel with you. Praise the Lord. Anuguomo Akpa. He asked for his father's inheritance while he was still alive. What an abomination. What an abomination. Let me tell you a story of a friend of mine. Just to tell you the depth. Small, he received small, and he was, you know, his son had just graduated and he bought him a car. Put the car in good shape. Chained alloy wheels, serious sound system. And when this child came back from school, looked at the car and said to the daddy, after a while, "I want to sell this car." Man said, "Why?" "I don't like it." My friend said to me that the I mean, you know, when we were young, when your father buys you a car, your mother that probably put half of the money in the car, we go and kneel down for your father and say, thank you. Is that not true? He will, the mug, and then you know what you will do? You will take the car to all the uncles and the aunties say, Eba mi dupe lowo, daddy. Is that how he was? But said, no, daddy, give me the spare key. Give me the documents. I don't like the car. I want to sell it. In our days, the father would take back the car from you. Am I right? If you are my age, Minister Bawo. Because in the first place, the car will not even be in your name. It can't even be in your name. The man will take back the car. My friend said, you know, it's not even the car. It is the love that I put into the car. Now, notice, this child didn't ask for my friend's house property. He didn't ask him for the title to his land. He didn't even ask him for his own car. He just asked him, the car you said you bought for me, please give me, I want to sell it. So can you imagine a child, when you are still alive, that came to you and said, give me my own inheritance. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Now, guess what? The issue was not so much that the younger son, asked for his inheritance before the death of the father. Let me show you something. Follow me to verse 12. Give me verse 12. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he did what? To just this younger son. You know, we missed that. It was while I was studying for this. Did he give two of them? Yes. He said he divided to them his, which means that even the older son, before the father died, got his inheritance. You never saw that. So both of them got their inheritance. So it could not have been the fact that the younger one got his inheritance. Yes, he was the one who initiated it. But both of them got their inheritance. Now, what was the problem? The younger one also got his share. It is what he did with his share. Man of God, the younger one squandered his share. So that was the bigger thing. It should have been nice. Lend me your imagination, church. If when he took that inheritance, he went to the Nigerian Stock Exchange or UK or New York or wherever and invested it. And maybe came back many years later. He said, Father, you gave me $1 million. See, I have come back with $50 million. Do you think the father will be happy with him? Yes. So let's get it straight. It is what happened with what happened, with what he did with his share. And the Bible tells us that he squandered it. In short, he was prodigal. By the way, the title of my sermon is The Prodigal. The Prodigal. Now, what does it mean to be prodigal? Please give me my slide. What does it mean to be prodigal? To be prodigal means spending money or using resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, extravagant. That's the meaning of being prodigal. Now, give me the noun of being prodigal. The noun means that as a person, you can be called prodigal. A person who spends money in a recklessly extravagant way. A person who spends resources in a recklessly extravagant way. May we not find children like that in the name of Jesus. How many of us would like to have a child like that? Let me see your hand. How many of us know somebody like that? How many of us know somebody like that? Prodigal. Prodigal. But guess what? You know someone who is like that. You know someone who is like that. In fact, you know that person very well. Guess what? That person is sitting in your seat right now. Hello. That person is sitting in your seat right now. Why? Guess what? Anytime we blow the resources that God has given to us, we are being prodigal. Anytime that what God has given to you as an assignment, you fail to do it, you are being what? Prodigal. Anytime we do something contrary to the word of God, we are being what? Prodigal. So before you start condemning that younger boy, look at yourself. Bible says that we should remove the log in our eyes before we look at the speck in somebody else's eye. Anytime we fritter away the gift and the talent that God has given to us, we are being what? Prodigal. Genesis 1:28. The Bible says to us here, multimedia, can you help me? It says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, one, and multiply, two, fill the earth and subdue it, four, and have what? Dominion. Anytime that we are not being fruitful, we are being prodigal. And don't say that Pastor Yomi preached a sermon, therefore you want to be burning 100 children. That's not what I said, though. Be fruitful in the things of God, in the work of God. It says, any time that you are not multiplying, we are being prodigal. Any time we fail to fill the earth with influence and impact, we are being prodigal. Any time we do not subdue. Do you know what subdue means? The man of God came here this morning. He said, you will overcome. You know, Jesus saw a problem. And he decided to deal with the problem rather than run away from the problem. Guess what? Jesus was already in heaven. He was with God the Father. But he saw a problem and they said, who shall we send? He said what? Send me. He came to subdue the problem and put it underfoot. Stop running away from problems. Problems are created to be solved. And it is the people who solve problems that get ahead. Stop running away from problems. He says, don't tabernacle at the problem. A client called me very late on Friday and said something needed to come out in the paper. This was about 9, 10 o'clock, 12. A paper that was going to be printed at 9. And I called my staff who was in charge of that thing. And I said, we need to do this. It is a new client. We need to impress the client. Ah, Oga, it can be done. They've already printed the paper. Ah, I said, go and try. And she went and called me back. It's not possible. Meanwhile, I want this client. Guess what? I sat down and I thought, yes, the papers in Lagos could have been printed, but the one in Abuja, they haven't printed yet. And I put a call through to Abuja. And guess what? The client was willing to pay almost 5, 6, 7 times of what it was worth because he needed to get it out on Saturday morning. And I just called Abuja and I said, you know what? I want this in the papers. Whatever you need to do to get it done. And at 12 midnight, they stopped press and they told me they're done. At about 11:30 to 12, they said, we got it in. And by morning, they had sent me a copy of the newspaper and I sent it to the person in charge. Lesson number one, never tell your boss it cannot be done. I should have fired you. What do you mean? I told you that I want something and you are telling me it cannot be done. When I say I want something, you say, yes, sir. Then you begin to figure out how you are going to do it. I said, why do I pay you? You think I pay you to solve problems and then I'm solving your problem. I should collect your salary for this month. Did it come out? Yes. And it was a huge, big client. Oga, guess what? To the extent I told them, they said, how much? I said, don't worry, leave it. I'm pouring water. It can be done. Never say to your boss, it can never be done. The value your boss places on you is your ability to solve complex and intricate problems. You find bosses that will say, leave it with so-so-so. He will sort it out. And then you wonder why you are not being promoted. You wonder why you are not getting a share of the profit. Come on, get up. Stop being prodigal. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. Let me continue. Child of God, if you are not living in any of these instructions, then you are being prodigal. If I am not, then I am being prodigal. Matthew 25:26. Then the Lord answered to them. You know, Matthew 25, he said, you know this parable. Initially in my life, I used to wonder why was Jesus so angry at this servant? This is how he described him. He said, and his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked. Wicked. Did the man steal? Come on now, church, speak to me. Did he steal? Did he rob? But Jesus described him and said, you wicked and lazy servant. You know that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Let me tell you something. By contrast, when Jesus was about to die, there was a robber, armed robber, Anini Oyenusi, beside Jesus Christ, and said to Jesus, if you read the scripture down, he said there will be weeping, he'll be cast out into utter darkness because there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But before he's cast out, they will take even that one that he has and give it to the person who has five. But guess what? Which means that literally, God will give a robber a chance who does the right thing than you that you waste your resources. Any resource God has given to you, if you waste it, this is what Jesus will say to you. Wicked and lazy servant. May that not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. So how can I stop being prodigal? One, verse 17, the Bible says, and we're going to quickly deal with that. How can I stop being prodigal? If I am already, and all of us, in one area or the other, we are prodigal. Unless we want to lie to ourselves. have a friend who is almost 70. She's just started a law program. Hello? Who is the oldest person going to school in this church? Who is the oldest person? Sorry? Auntie is how old? Over 68, and you are still going to school. And then you find somebody who says, at 35, I'm too old to go and get a degree. Can we please clap for her? Those are the examples we are looking for. It says, the first thing, when he came to himself, the first thing is to realize that if you are prodigal in one way or the other, you must first come to yourself. And some of the versions says, he came to his senses. You must first admit, in this way, I am being prodigal. I'm not giving the fullest of what God has entrusted to me. You must come to yourself. Come to your senses. Admit that, guess what? In this area, I am not doing well. I must admit to myself, in this area, I am not doing well. Number two, Genesis 2 verse 12. Genesis 2 verse 12. Give it to me. Number two, Genesis 2. Did I get that right? Oh, sorry. Genesis 3 verse 12. Sorry. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did what? Stop making excuses for yourself. Stop making excuses. And as if I was listening to the radio, a Christian program as I was coming, and it was focused on excuses. There are too many Christians making too many excuses. The reason why we have not gone to create is because this is happening. That one is happening. My father, I was born poor. I was born in a village. I was born in, guess what? God has given you everything pertaining to life. And I will show you. Stop making excuses. Number three, give me verse 20 of that same scripture. That's Luke 15, verse 20 of that same thing. Bible tells us that he arose, which means that what? He changed course. He was headed in a direction, and he did what? He changed course. There are many of us, we need to change course. We are going along the lines, and he's not giving us the report, the goals we are looking for. The results, that's the word. He said he arose. He arose and he went and came to his father. He arose and came to the father. Enough of procrastination. Enough, I will do it tomorrow. And then the tomorrow never comes. And as I'm speaking to your heart. You know, I said something, man of God. I believe that when we get to heaven, sir, there's going to be a big television screen. Note what I'm about to say. And it's going to show you what you ought to have been. You know, you always say it. You always say it. He always says it. He says, I can see what you are supposed to be. Some of you seated here, you will realize when you get to heaven, when that screen plays, that you are supposed to be the one borrowing Dangote money. Some of you would realize that you are supposed to have done a bigger thing than Access Bank and Herbert Wigwe. I honestly believe so. I believe that it's possible that some people may not enter heaven, not because of sin, but because they did not fulfill what God did not ask, God asked them to do in life. There'll be that big screen. I need you to reflect on it. I've not come here to condemn you. I've come here to inspire you. I've come here to tell you to get out of that seat and do what God has ordained you to do. Somebody spoke to me on Wednesday or Thursday and used a phrase. You know, maybe, God forbid, maybe they would have charged me for murder if he was standing in front of me. You know all he said? I have tried my best. What did he just say? You have tried your best, and this is your best? You mean this is your best? You actually mean this is your best? I chewed off his head. You know what? I can't tell you that I have done my best. It's not possible. I have not done my best. When you realize that you have not done your best, it humbles you. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. And it's next thing that I say, number four, to take yourself, you say, humble yourself. If you have to say sorry, say sorry. If you have to go and look for somebody to learn under, learn under. I always give myself an example. I use myself as an example. I don't know how many of you, and I'm sure very few, were his personal friend. I was his friend. I was his friend. We were together. The minute I realized that the role of this man is in my life is not that of friend, is that of pastor. When he calls me now, do you know what I say? Sir. It's irrelevant that you were born in the same year. Mm-mm. It doesn't matter. In the scheme of God's plan for me in my life, he has appointed me and he has anointed me. Anointed him to be my shepherd. It would be foolish of me to see him as a friend. I humbled myself. Somebody has called him by name before. He never told me to stop calling him by name. I was the one who decided. I said, after all, we were born in the same year. After all, I'm driving the same car as him. Sorry if you don't understand. Translation. I can't help you. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. If you have to go and learn under your junior, go. If you have to call somebody younger than him, teach me this thing. Teach. Stop being prodigal. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus. But guess what? Prodigal one. Thank God for God. Because guess what? In verses 22 to 24, the father forgave the son. He says, but the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. Let's step back. Give me 21 when he saw him afar. Give me 21. Then the father, no, even before then, give me 20. Let me try 20. 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still, when? A great way off. My friend loved his son like mad. Even though he didn't do what we like. But guess what? He's our son. We love him. Yoruba, sorry again. Omo oleburu kaf mufwe kunkopa. There's no matter how difficult your child is that you will feed the child to a lion. But in the course of this study, I realized something. I saw in the Old Testament, Pastor, did you see that in the Bible? That if you have a stubborn son, that you will carry the son and you will warn the son first time. Second time, then you will take the son to the elders. They will take the son outside the city and they will stone the son to death. It's in the Bible. I said, Father, thank God we are not living. Okay, before we became born again, the things we did to our parents. It's in the Bible. While I was studying, I saw it. So thank God for the dispensation, the new dispensation of the testament. He said, and he rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had what? Compassion. And child of God, no matter how far gone you are prodigal, God has compassion for you. God has compassion. And he ran and he fell on him and he fell on his neck and did what? Kissed him. Verse 21. Then and the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and blah, blah, blah. And no longer worthy to be called your son. But what was the response? 22. But the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and his sandals on his feet. Do you know, what he says was that, yes, the son had done the wrong thing, but the father had compassion. But you know the greater thing? The father was telling the son, you are bigger than your mistake. You are bigger than the mess that you have found yourself. You are bigger than the challenge that is ahead of you. That mess will become a message. That test will become a testimony. You are failed, but you are not a failure. In spite of your sins, you do not stand condemned. He knew that even though weeping may have endured for the child for a night, joy will come in the morning. He realized that despite the challenges, you just need to get back on your son. Somebody called you a prodigal son. You are no longer that prodigal son. There's a big thing for you. And I don't know how the story ended, but it's possible. Maybe it's that child that redeemed the heritage of that family. So if you're feeling like a prodigal son, or prodigal child, this morning, I have news for you. No matter how long you have been in that state, it is time for you to take this leap of faith. You can no longer afford to waste God's given talent. You can no longer afford to bury your talent. It is time for you to arise and shine because the glory of God has risen upon you. There's a lot more to you than you see. If only we could maximize the huge deposit of God in us. We have the power to create because we are made in his image and his likeness. And the first attribute of God that we saw was his ability to create. Come on, child of God, get up and go and create something. I'm closing. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and I'm reading from the Amplified version. It says, but you shall remember with profound respect the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to do what? Does God give wealth? Does God give wealth? From this scripture, he gives you the power to make wealth. It's only money doubler that will poke. You open a door and you see money there. God gives you the power to make wealth. And you can use that. He gives you the power to create wealth. So what are these? What kind of power does he give you? He gives you ideas. He gives you the discipline. He gives you the focus. He gives you the persistence. He gives you the association. He gives you the power to belong to Grace Assembly. He gives you the gifts and he gives you the talent. He gives you a pastor like Femi Paul. He gives you the word that comes from this pulpit every time. He gives you the opportunity and he gives you the power to recognize that opportunity so that you can create wealth. Each and every one of us, we are better than we are currently are. Stop saying that you have done your best. You can't, otherwise you'll not be where you are. And I've said this before, I honestly believe about the television, a big screen when we get to heaven, that will show us exactly what we ought to have been, what God destined us to be, how many children we are supposed to have sent to school, how many universities we are supposed to have built, how many children we are supposed to have fed, how many widows we are supposed to have supported, how many cars we are supposed to have given out, how many buildings we are supposed to have given out, how many great things we ought to have done. Stop thinking about yourself and your family alone. God has set you to do great things. If only we have seized God's inspired moment. Grace Assembly, it is time for us all to arise. Create something and stop being prodigal. Good morning, church. I honestly thank you for your clap, for your clapping, but that's not what I want. I want people to testify when you come. You see this man 10 years from now, he's traveling. I can picture it, Pastor. You're traveling through Heathrow Airport, or you're traveling through JFK, and somebody grabs you and says, Pastor Femi Paul, you made the difference in my life. See who I am. See what I am. The word that you gave me that once inspired. I have not seen you. And everybody is wondering at JFK, business like first class lounge, and somebody is kneeling down and say, thank you, shepherd of God. If there's a testimony that God sent you, if you need one, look at me, because your word is what made me what I am today. Then you can clap. This morning, I just, very quickly, our time is fast spent. Just bow, a few minutes, or a few seconds, just speak to God and say, anywhere that I have been prodigal, anywhere, help me to come to myself anywhere, in any area of my life, that I'm not doing your will, I'm not doing your purpose, I'm not following your instruction, I'm not obedient, that I'm being prodigal. Help me. I'm coming back home.